What is going on, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Ride, your Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning podcast right here on the Steel Curtain Network, which is a part of the Fans First Sports Network. Welcome. It is post-NFL draft time. That means that finally, we can put the speculation to bed. We can stop talking about mock drafts. We can stop doing mock draft simulators. I know that that's a sad thing for a lot of people, but for me, the host of this show, I welcome it. I can't wait until all that stuff is done because honestly, the draft is an awesome weekend. I love the draft. I love it. It's a busy weekend. It is the busiest weekend of the year for me from a work perspective, but I love the draft and the hope that it brings. I've talked about that multiple times. So the draft is over. We're going to talk about winners and losers in the first half of the show. In the second half, I'm going to have Jeremy Jerome Betts on for an all bets are off segment special edition this Monday, having Jerome Betts on to talk draft. This is his wheelhouse. So I want to ask him about the draft class, but let's start with some news and then we'll get into winners and losers for this post NFL draft. And yes, I didn't forget about DEFCON levels. We will be doing that this week. So the draft is over. Steelers have had seven picks. They have seven new players. Shockingly, they did not trade at all. I thought it was really surprising that they did not make one single trade. They stayed in their allotted draft position every single pick. In case you missed, and I mean, we have you covered every which way and sideways on the Steel Curtain Network, but in case you missed the weekend, here's how it shook out. Round one, Troy Fautanu, offensive tackle out of Washington. Round two, Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. Round three, two selections, Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of Michigan, and Peyton Wilson, inside linebacker out of North Carolina State. In round four, guard Mason McCormick from South Dakota, and then two picks in the sixth round. First pick was Logan Lee, defensive tackle slash defensive end out of Iowa, and then Ryan Watts, a defensive back who could flex from corner to safety in the second pick of the sixth round. He's out of Texas. So pretty interesting stuff. I do want to draw your attention to two breakdowns that are on our YouTube channel right now from Coach KT Smith. He broke down the Fautanu selection right after the Thursday draft. Round one was over. He also did a great breakdown of Roman Wilson. He's already done a breakdown on Zach Frazier when he looked at who was a better fit for the Steelers, Frazier or JPJ. That's Jackson Powers Johnson, who went to the Las Vegas Raiders before the Steelers selected in round two. He actually said in that breakdown, if you've watched it, he thought Frazier was a better fit. So there you go. The draft is over. It is in the books. And now we have to look to undrafted free agents are going to be signing. A rookie minicamp is coming up. We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about as the days keep, you know, slowly dragging on as you get to the OTAs, rookie minicamp, mandatory minicamp. And then there's that 1 month lull until training camp starts. But you know what? That'll be here before you know it. Now, I do want to bring up a couple of things that are interesting before we get to the winners and losers segment. First, you know, the trades. We did a couple of podcasts over the draft where it talked about trades, right? How it was Brandon Ayuk at first. Then, according to our source, A.J. Brown signs his monster deal on Thursday, and that gives the 49ers new numbers to look at in terms of the market for the wide receiver position. And then all of a sudden, Deebo Samuel's name started getting thrown around, and the Steelers were interested, and they inquired. The price was too high, and so they didn't make a move. Could they still bring in a wide receiver? They absolutely could. It could be like a Cortland Sutton type. That's a name that's been thrown around a lot. Nothing that I've heard from the inside says that that's going to happen. Nonetheless, the Steelers are still interested in bringing in a potential wide receiver. We'll see how that goes. But one thing that was interesting is that after the draft, so the draft is over with, now you have to look at, well, if they were to make a trade, what would that look like? Most likely, it's going to be for future draft capital. So I looked up the 2025 draft picks for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I was kind of surprised. What I found, the Steelers have one pick in the first, second, third, and fourth rounds. Now, here's what's interesting. In the sixth round, that is the conditional pick that the Steelers have that's owed to the Chicago Bears. And it could turn into a fourth round pick if Justin Fields plays more than 50% of the snaps in 2024. What I found, though, and I'm going to have to double check on this. I'll get Dave Schofield on this. What I found, though, is that according to what I was reading from multiple sources online, is that the sixth round pick that the Steelers would technically give for Fields was the pick that was swapped to the Las Vegas Rams for Kevin Dotson in the Kevin Dotson deal. So technically, from what I gathered, the Steelers have made a trade for a conditional draft pick that they don't even have, which is interesting. Again, I'm going to have to do a little bit more digging. This was all very superficial. But the Steelers do have 2 5th-round picks and 3 7th-round picks next year. So absolutely, I could see the Steelers trying to not just get a 6th-round pick so that they actually have a pick to give away, but also trying to find a way to move some of these maybe late-round picks, day 3 picks, to try and obtain maybe a player that they think could help them this year. Interesting stuff. Like I said, I'm going to ask Dave Schofield to do some digging there on that. But let's talk winners and losers, right? This is always difficult because when you have an event like the NFL draft, and I did a mini winners and losers after the Troy Fa'utanu pick on Thursday, and you know there were some winners overall, and that some of these might be the same, but I tried to steer away from what I've already covered in that segment. So let's talk about winners and losers. Again, winners and losers, this is very different than in-season winners and losers based on the fact that we are talking about people, not just necessarily like people or positions that didn't play well, didn't perform well. I'm talking about people that might have benefited from the selections that were made, or in the loser segment, people that did not benefit from the selections that were made. So let's start with the winners, right? So we have, let me count them up, 8 winners and 4 losers. As long as I counted those up properly. So let's start with the winners. First, all drafted players. All the players that I named from round 1 through 6 that got selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers, you are winners. Why? Because you got drafted, but you didn't just get drafted. You got drafted by the best damn team in the National Football League. Now, I know people are going to say the Kansas City Chiefs. No. They were the champions last year. The Steelers are the best team right now, just like all 32 teams are probably echoing the same sentiment as they get ready for the upcoming season. So all drafted players are winners in my book. The next winners, 2 actually in 1, Corey Trice, Darius Rush, and you can even throw in Luke Barkou. How are they winners? How are the guys that played last year, or some played last year, how are they winners now? Simple. The Steelers not selecting a cornerback, choosing to bolster the offensive line and the defensive front, means that they are showing some faith in Corey Trice, that he's healthy, Darius Rush, that he could be a contributor. That should speak volumes to those gentlemen when they're looking at where they fit on the roster heading into 2024. So good news for them. Steelers didn't take a 2nd-round pick with a cornerback, 3rd-round pick, whatever. They basically avoided corner until the last pick that they had in the draft. Therefore, Corey Trice, Darius Rush, they are winners. The next winner, Pat Meyer. Pat Meyer is a winner. The offensive line coach is a winner. Why? 1st-round pick, offensive line. 2nd-round pick, offensive line. 4th-round pick, offensive line. Pat Meyer, guess what, man? You have some horses in your stable now. Let's turn them into thoroughbreds. That's exactly what I want to see. Pat Meyer has no excuse as it pertains to lack of performance based on the fact that he has the guys now. The guys are now all there. Let's see him put it together. So Pat Meyer, you're a winner after the draft. You are a winner because of what the Steelers invested in the offensive line. But I will say this, the pressure's on. The pressure is now on. Maybe that's not a winner thing, but I think it is. Pat Meyer's a winner. The next winner, I talked about him on Friday, Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. He's got to be absolutely ecstatic. You talked about the offensive line. You also add a nice wide receiver. It's a great draft for the offense. Arthur Smith has to be licking his chops, looking at Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren. Let's run it down people's throats. Or as Coach KT Smith said in a written word, the Steelers offensive line might be going medieval on some defenders. And I'm all for it. I said this on the live stream leading up to the 1st round of the draft. We were talking about, okay, where are the Steelers going to do at 20? And I said, you know what? It's time for the Steelers to quit messing around. Quit messing around and fix the offensive line. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be perfect this season, but they did invest the capital. They did invest the draft capital to make it happen. Let's go to the next winner. Offensive skill positions. Again, talked about this on Friday. Quarterbacks, whether it's Justin Fields and or Russell Wilson, the running backs, the wide receivers and tight ends, they should all be stoked about the offensive line getting bolstered the way that it was. They have to be thinking, okay, now's the time. Now is when we actually start turning this thing into an offensive machine. Go back 2 years ago, Steelers averaged 18.1 points per game. Last year, under 18, I believe it was 17.9. The Steelers offense is waiting to explode. What did they need? They needed the offensive line. They needed a better coordinator. So here you have it. They got the piece of the puzzle. Can they put it all together? We'll see. The next winner, future draft capital. The future draft capital. What do I mean by future draft capital? I mean that the Steelers didn't make any trades. The Steelers didn't trade up to get Troy Faiutanu. They didn't have to trade up from 51 to get Zach Frazier. They didn't trade at all. And so what that means is when I read the 2025 NFL draft picks, they're all still there. They're all still there. And that is fantastic. That gives the Steelers ammunition heading into the preseason and all that. There still can be trades. Trades can still happen. However, I am looking at this and saying, I love the fact that they didn't have to trade. They didn't have to move future draft capital. They didn't give a first-round pick for a Brandon Ayuk or a Deebo Samuel. I love that. They were able to make the moves, get the players that they want, get the players that many would say they need, and not have to give up the draft capital to do so. And then the next two winners, let's go Steelers front office, Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, Sheldon White, Mike Tomlin, Art Rooney II, and on down to the scouting department, personnel department. Phenomenal job. They did a hell of a job. I will say this. Man, Omar Khan, everyone says like he's aggressive. He's aggressive. Man, the con artist, King Khan, all this stuff. The dude's patient. He's very, very patient. He showed that in spades during the 2024 draft. We're all feeling it. And he even talked about it in the pro, like after round one, how the 10 minutes in between picks was just the longest of his life. And you're watching these players slowly slip down the draft board. And you're thinking, okay. All right. Is he going to move up? Like, Faiutanu's there. Is he going to move up and get him? What are they going to do? Second round. Like, we're watching with Shannon White. Shannon White, love the guy to death, for another West Virginian. And he's wearing his WVU stuff and he's sweating. Oh my gosh. Are they going to take him? Are they going to take him? Or is this Creed Humphrey 2.0? He didn't move up. He stayed patient and the board fell to him. You need a little luck there. You need the patience. You also need the luck. The Steelers got both, and I give the front office a lot of credit. A lot of credit. The last winner, Steelers fan base. The Steelers fan base. You know, I mean, the Steelers fans are going to love the players that they draft. They always are. Doesn't mean they're always going to agree, though. And we talked about this during one of the live streams, probably on day three, where there was the entire fifth round where the Steelers didn't pick. Talked a lot about Kevin Colbert's final few drafts, and they weren't great. They weren't great. The Steelers fans should be very, very happy with the moves that have been made this offseason. They're not done. They're going to continue to make some moves, so be on the lookout for that. But I think Steelers fans should be very, very happy. They should be very, very excited about the direction of the team. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, oh, hey, they're going to be in the Super Bowl this year. You know what? I'm not going to guarantee that at all, but I will say this. I think they're a hell of a lot closer to the Super Bowl now than they were at last season at this time. And they had a hell of a draft class last year. And, you know, my wife, you know, God bless her. She'll say things every now and then about the Steelers. And I came upstairs from the cave during the draft and she goes, how's it going? And I said, hey, they're having a great draft so far. And she goes, well, didn't you say that last year? And I said, yeah. She goes, well, does it mean they're going to win more games? I said, no, but if you keep stacking good draft classes, it's going to all pay off. I feel like that's what the Steelers are doing. They had a great draft class in 2023. Another great draft in 2024. See it pay dividends. Let's go to the loser side of the docket. Four of them. Let's say the first one is Dan Moore Jr. Talked about Dan Moore on Friday. You can go back and listen to that. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Dan Moore Jr. is in the final year of his contract, and they just drafted in the first round of tackle. So I'm not saying that Dan Moore is not going to play. I'm sure he'll probably start the season as the left tackle. But man, it just doesn't bode well. Doesn't bode well for him. And he's been a good player in terms of his attitude. He's always been a good soldier, so to speak. So Dan Moore, unfortunately, is on the losers list because it seems like the writing is on the wall. The next, which is odd, I had to think about this a little bit, but James Daniels. And James Daniels, he was a very expensive free agent at right guard. At the time, was the most expensive free agent the Steelers have ever brought in. And it just hasn't, I don't know, I'm not an X's and O's guy. I'd have to ask Coach KT Smith, but nothing about what James Daniels does pops off the screen. Isaac Seumalo has done stuff that you watch like, oh, look at that. And maybe it's because of his long mane coming out of his helmet. I don't know. But James Daniels is also in the final year of his contract, and the Steelers just spent a fourth-round pick on Mason McCormick. Is Mason McCormick guaranteed to be the next guard No, he's not. But at the same time, it is interesting. And Dave Schofield brought this up on our day three wrap up, where he talked about these fourth round picks that have turned into starters for the Steelers on the offensive line. Most recently was Kevin Dotson, who was a starter before they traded him away. They played him out of position, say what you want. But this fourth round pick for the Steelers is a big pick. That's a big pick. And so maybe the writing on the wall is there for James Daniels as well. I'm not so sure. The next loser is Mark Robinson. When the Steelers selected Peyton Wilson in the third round, you know that he might not be the every down starter, but when you have Patrick Queen, they invested in the inside linebacker position. Landon Roberts is still there. Cole Holcomb's under contract, and then they draft Peyton Wilson in the third round. Mark Robinson better be hoping and praying that his special teams capability keep him on the team, because as of right now, the way it looks and the way this is shaping up, he's not going to get a lot of snaps on defense. So he needs to figure that out. But Mark Robinson, unfortunately, just like James Daniels and Dan Moore, it looks like the writing is on the wall. Last loser, slot wide receivers not named Roman Wilson. So Calvin Austin III, you know, our source has said Steelers are concerned about his durability. He's a small guy, his ability to go over the middle, do the tough things. That's what Roman Wilson does best. The dude loves to block. He loves to go into the dirty areas. He makes the tough catches. He reminds me of a Hines Ward. You know, I watched the breakdown by Coach Smith, and he just says, like, man, the guy's a willing blocker. The run play is on the far side of the field, and he is engaging the defensive back the entire play until the whistle. Defensive backs hate that, and he seems to love it. And so now you have Calvin Austin III, Quez Watkins, and Van Jefferson. Like, what's going to happen here? I think Van Jefferson would be more primarily outside. So Calvin Austin III and Quez Watkins, what are they going to do? Who's going to win the battle? Quez Watkins, you're a free agent addition. Calvin Austin, you were a drafted player. That gives you an edge, Calvin Austin III, but you're going to have to prove your worth. You're going to have to prove your worth, because drafting Roman Wilson in the third round with this regime at Omar Khan at the helm, that says something. You're going to have to prove. So there are some winners and losers. When we come back after this break, got Jeremy Jerome Betts on the All Bets Are Off segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, Steeler fans, listen, don't adjust your dials and don't think that it's the wrong day of the week. It's not Friday. It is Monday. You're going to get the double dip of the bets this week because we didn't have the All Bets Are Off segment last week. I told Jeremy with the draft going on, let's move your Friday segment to Monday, and then we'll also have it again on Friday. So, Jeremy, what's up, man? How are you?
It's going good. It's nice to be part of the Monday morning conversation side of things. And yeah. I don't know if you had another one of those in the first half or not, nope. But let's do it. I'm happy to talk
winners
draft.
I did winners and losers, man. So you get the first crack at giving me your thoughts on this draft class. Let me ask you this first. I'm not going to ask you. Well, I will ask you your thoughts, because I think when it comes to grades, I feel like you can grade the process.
Yeah.
You can't grade the pick. You can grade when they were selected. You can grade the process, like I mentioned. But we have no idea how these guys are going to play out. We have no idea if someone like a Mason McCormick as a fourth-round draft pick is going to turn into a starter, or if he's just going to be an interior offensive line depth piece for the next 4 years. We don't know. Let's talk about the process. Grade it for me. Think about what the Steelers had to do, or maybe what they didn't do, like trading. How would you grade the process in the 2024 draft for Omar Khan and company?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a solid A-. And the reason I put the minus on there is I thought that the team kind of passed up the opportunity to get maybe a player that could help them more right away in the secondary. Especially when you consider they draft two offensive linemen in rounds one and two, and then come back around to that with a guard in round four. I don't hate the pick or the player per se, but I just thought that maybe the focus could have been on the secondary earlier because of the glaring holes that are there. So, but just considering the plan in its entirety, you're probably looking at, they're considering this fact in future decisions that will go down before training camp, future additions. And we've talked about it there's going to be a whole new round of cuts now after the draft. There's going to be a lot of players still available. Teams are rounding out their roster still. So now they're going to sign some more vets after what they were able to get in the draft. So that may play into the process at all or entirely as well. But at this point, the weaknesses in the secondary, specifically at slot corner, you could also say outside corner has some very untested depth behind it. I thought maybe they could go there a little bit earlier. But you can't hate what they did. You can't hate the thought that they have revamped this offensive line in 2 years. And if the players work out and they got good value for their picks at those positions, if they work out, then you're looking at a team who addressed its biggest need in the quickest way with young talent on the cheap that they can hopefully blossom into stars.
Yeah, and it's crazy because there's no way for them to potentially address every roster position Correct. That needs work, but they did double down on the line more than one
triple
way.
Down.
Yeah, triple down, in fact. Yep. So I had Pat Meyer on the winner list because he's got to be sitting there like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, look at what these guys I have to work with now, which is phenomenal. Let's go to individual picks, and I want to ask you, out of all seven players that were selected by the Steelers, what was your favorite pick and why?
Yeah, my favorite pick is Peyton Wilson. In the third round. And I think you just, the reason being is that you potentially got a day one starter at linebacker on day two of the draft, very late. I mean, that's like the next to last pick or third to last pick of the third round. And you get a player who, because of injuries, there's concern there. But because of injuries slid down this board, but if he's healthy, which he was the last two seasons at NC State, and if he can come in and provide you anywhere close to what he was doing in college production-wise, you've got a guy that can start alongside your big-ticket free agent in Patrick Queen for the next 4 or 5 years. And Landon Roberts and Cole Holcomb, whatever situations play out with them, you have two guys now with the athleticism and just the overall physical traits and abilities and instincts to be able to lock down your inside linebacker group for years to come. This is their attempt at getting Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, at getting Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen from last year for the Ravens. This is their attempt at that. And I think that if you do that, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, it's just better when you have good inside linebacker play. And we haven't seen that for a long time. So with as good as the offensive line picks were, that is my favorite one because you combine the value there with the upside and it's impressive to me.
I think that he's going into, and this is Peyton Wilson, is going into a very good situation.
Yes.
Because when you think about Patrick Queen being signed in free agency, Landon Roberts returns, just those two players being there in and of itself will not force him to be a regular in the rotation. He could be a sub package guy. Hey, nickel, dime, here comes Peyton Wilson out there. He's good in coverage, super athletic, sideline to sideline guy. He can take Landon Roberts off the field. And then he and Patrick Queen can work. And boy, are both of those guys good at blitzing the quarterback. So that's going to add another element to the game. I do like the Peyton Wilson pick. I want to ask you, though, this next question, which kind of ties into what you just said. Out of all the players that were picked, and really we're talking day one, day two here, how many of them, if any, do you see being a day one starter?
Okay, so just talking through it, let me throw out the caveat that the Steelers operate a certain way.
Yes, they do.
And there's a very good chance that Zach Frazier, specifically, because I think he's the one who doesn't have a vet that is going to be pushing him right away for those starting snaps. He appears to be the guy at center right now, just because of what's on the roster. Outside of him, you're looking at Fautanu, who's got Dan Moore Jr. and Broderick Jones, that he'll have to beat out one of those guys for snaps. And you presume it would be Dan Moore Jr. Are the Steelers going to want to do that on day one? I don't know. We'll see. Now, do I think he has the ability to be that? Yes. So I'm going to say Fautanu has the ability to be a day one starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Zach Frazier will most likely be a day one starter at center for the Steelers. And then you get into the third round, and based on what I see from the wide receiver core and the skill sets that are there, I do think Roman Wilson is a day one starter for this team, meaning he will see action and very significant action for the Steelers in week one of the regular season. Peyton Wilson to me is the wild card here, because if Cole Holcomb were to be healthy, I think that you probably start with those three guys, Landon Roberts, Cole Holcomb, and Patrick Queen as your main rotation. And then you're working Peyton Wilson in. Now he's going to get special team snaps, I think, pretty early as well. So I'm going to say three of the four for sure. And it could be all four by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah.
I would say though, that by the end of 2024, all four of those players will be taking starter quote unquote snaps for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So you brought up, Roman Wilson, and obviously he's going to see some time. I mean, this is a third round draft pick. He's comes from a high pedigree university in Michigan, won a national championship. This slot cornerback competition is going to be interesting. Not for Roman Wilson. The dude's got a spot on the team.
Yes.
Really, it comes down to Quez Watkins and Calvin Austin III. And who do you think brings more value? I can tell you this from our source. They're concerned about Calvin Austin and his durability. He's a little guy, kind of disappears when he's over the middle. He's kind of the antithesis of Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson's not much taller than Calvin Austin. Calvin Austin is 5'9". He's like my height, 5'10" on a good scale, maybe with cleats on. You know, Roman Wilson's 5'11". Roman Wilson, though, if you watch what Coach KT Smith did, his breakdown of him on our YouTube channel, when I watch that guy, he seeks physicality like Hines Ward used to. And that's what I was like, okay, this guy might be a new favorite of mine, because he's got that type of attitude, and that's something you need. So his spot is safe, but who do you like between Quez and Calvin Austin? Because Calvin Austin was not drafted by Omar Khan.
Yeah. That being said, I do like Calvin Austin over Quez Watkins. Okay. And that's because he has been in Pittsburgh. And also I think he brings another element that Quez Watkins does not, in that he has another gear. He just has another gear. And you saw that even last year when he's blowing by defenders and taking in deep passes for touchdowns. He did it a couple times, I think. And then he also had a few punt returns in the preseason that got you excited. Quez Watkins can do those things, but I just don't think he can run as many routes as Calvin Austin can do. And I don't think he's as good in the backfield as Calvin Austin. So that is where I think he has the advantage. And that's why I would take Calvin Austin III over Quez Watkins right now. But those two dudes are going to be battling it out for sure. And maybe one boost going to Quez Watkins is that he has started for a team that was making playoff runs and looking good in the process for the Eagles. And he has more of that experience that might go his way. But as far as skill set goes, I actually like Calvin Austin III better than Quez Watkins.
All right. Let's talk about the day three picks before I let you go. The day three picks they were interesting. We talked about the triple down effect of the guard, Mason McCormick, Logan Lee. I know a lot of people, Andrew Wilbar was on the live stream with him. He wasn't crazy about the pick, thought he was overdrafted, and a lot of websites had him projected as a seventh round or an undrafted rookie even. And then you had the Ryan Watts, the defensive back out of Texas, who kind of doesn't seem to have a home. He's not really a corner in the NFL. Doesn't really have a ton of experience at safety though either. What's your take on these day three picks? And do you see any of them turning into something, not necessarily in 2024 with the Steelers?
I saw a couple interesting comparisons for Logan Lee. And one of them was the beard himself, Brett Keisel.
I saw
Keisel.
That too, man. I saw that same comparison. Yeah.
And I love that when you look at just the body type and what you would ask him to do. You're not going to ask him to play the nose. You're not going to ask him to play even what Cam Hayward does, probably, where he slides in to the three tech. But I think this is a pure five tech. So on the outside shoulder as a 3-4 defensive end of the guard. And he's going to play pass rush downs, I believe. So this is a guy who's got some north and south ability and quickness. His athleticism isn't going to overwhelm you, but his motor is incredible. And Jeff, I would say that's been the highlight, or maybe not the highlight, but the focus of every single one of the players that the Steelers picked in this draft. Unbelievable motors, zero quit, zero concerns about sticking with the play, even if it's not going their way, and following through. They had enough of that last year. And that's why Deontay Johnson's not on the roster. And, even Kenny Pickett, to a point, that they moved on from some of these guys. No quit in any of these guys. And Logan Lee epitomizes that. So if he can turn into a solid five-tech rotational player, I really like that for the Steelers. Ryan Watts is an upside play because of the length and the athleticism. He's not, he doesn't overwhelm you with like his speed, but he is extremely explosive and actually very quick for a guy his size. You see him break down, and that experience at corner, I think, will actually help him at the next level, even if he does move to safety with his coverage instincts and things like that. So I really like that pick. It's in the mold of Corey Trice and Joey Porter Jr. just, later on in the draft. And I think that you've got a guy now that can compete. And this guy has gunner potential on special teams with that length and decent speed. I just think that he's a guy that you will want to work in slowly. He's not a guarantee for the roster, Jeff, but I think that drafted player, he's got a good shot over maybe some of the guys that they'll bring in to compete in for the 90-man come training camp.
What about your South Dakota boy, McCormick, Mason McCormick?
Yeah, South Dakota State. Okay, so turning on the tape of this guy, he is, again, just no quit, high motor guy, but he's physical. He's got a nasty streak to him, which is exactly what you want. And I think Coach Smith was talking about this too. I think he is a better scheme fit for what the Steelers want to do with Arthur Smith than a guy like James Daniels. Now, is he going to knock James Daniels out of the starting role this year? Probably not. But this is a guy who provides you great depth. And outside of the fact that I was hoping for a defensive back at this point, I love this pick for the Steelers because of the type of player he is. So I'm very intrigued to see how it plays out. But one concern, Jeff, I do have with this class, or a couple concerns maybe. You do have now in Troy Faiutanu and Mason McCormick, guys who many project their best position is guard. Even Faiutanu, who the Steelers are hoping can play tackle the next level. So if you drafted him with the thought that he's going to be our tackle of the future on whichever side, and he doesn't work out there, you have just now a bunch of guards and nobody to play tackle, if that ends up being the case. And then there are some injury concerns for these guys. Zach Frazier, Troy Faiutanu, Peyton Wilson, all these guys have injuries. So we'll see how it plays out. But it doesn't come without risk, but still the value that they got where they got these guys is great.
I'm glad you added that at the end, because really everyone is looking at this draft through rose-colored glasses or black and gold glasses and saying, this is the greatest draft. I think it was a fantastic draft. And what you're seeing is that Omar Khan and Andy White will have stacked draft classes now. And, my wife asked me, like, well, that doesn't equate in wins. No, but it will down the road. Absolutely will down the road, because if they were to take, he's only had two drafts under his belt as GM, and he's had two really good ones. If you add a third and a fourth, next thing you know, you're stacking a team that is loaded with homegrown talent. And so that's the hope. But I like what you said there. There are caveats to these players. There's a reason Mason McCormick was drafted in the fourth round. There's a reason why Lee was in the sixth, and so was Watts. They're not perfect prospects, but you got to hope the Steelers can get them in the door, change things up, get them going. I like what you said there. All right, Jeremy.
Yep.
Yeah, man. What's coming up? You've got the fix. You've got a lot of stuff going on. What's coming up?
Yeah, so if you didn't check out the Q&A that ran last night live, you can check that out wherever you get your podcast. It's Shannon White breaking down everything with me.
Oh, boy, that's going to be
and answering your questions, so it's going to be a blast. It's going to be an absolute blast after not just Zach Frazier, but Beanie Bishop, cornerback, coming in as a UDFA. He's going to be I don't know. We might have to turn down his mic in the recording. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, check that out if you missed it. It was a lot of fun. And so Steelers Fix, Andrew and I are going to be recording that tonight. So we haven't recorded that yet, but we're going to be breaking down the draft picks in our own unique way. And I think you can check us out on the FFSN NFL feed still. We're going to have an AFC and NFC recap of the draft, and then probably going to be transitioning to something a little different there on that side of things as well. And we'll let you know a little bit more about that down the road, but keep Perfect. Tuning in wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man. I appreciate all the work over the weekend at the draft. It was great stuff. Check out the draft day recaps that he and Andrew did on the FFS and NFL feed. Good stuff. Andrew, thank you. Andrew, I just called you Andrew. Jeremy, thank you very much. Boy, what that's a slap in the face. I'm just, thank you very much. We'll talk on Friday, man. All right. Hey, have a good week. We'll see you.
You too.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
All right, a big thank you to Jeremy, as always, for taking the time. I'll be talking to him again on Friday. Don't worry, folks. He'll be back again, but I want to have him on to talk about the draft as we kind of shift off this. We'll bring the Monday morning conversation back next week, and we'll have a lot of in-depth stuff as we break down this draft class. But I do want to remind everyone, tomorrow, Tuesday, be on the lookout for the mailbag tweet. You have to find me on Twitter at jhartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N underscore P-I-T. I ask the question. I'll put out a tweet. All you have to do is respond to that tweet. I will answer that question live on the air on the Wednesday Let's Ride podcast. So be on the lookout for that. Other than that, folks, that's it. That's a wrap for this Monday. Man, what a draft. What a weekend. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed our content. Make sure you check us out at steelcurtainnetwork.com and Steel Curtain Network, our podcast platform, our YouTube channel, Facebook, etc. Check it all out. You'll love it. In the meantime, you know, we finished out. Be safe, be kind, and God bless. Have a great start to your week. Cheers to you.